Anyway, we finally arrived in Scotland, and I went down and I reported to Canadian headquarters there, and they told me that I had to make them right and write my report. I'd written most of it on the ship, by the way, in a copy book. I bought a copy book in Sierra Leone and a pencil, and I wrote my report mainly in handwriting. And when I got to the headquarters, the stenographer typed it out and all out, and that was my report. Then I went back to Canada, and I stopped off at Halifax and went and saw General Elkins, I remember, who was commanding there then. And then I went off to De Burt and stayed with overnight with General Worthington, who was then mobilizing the 4th Canadian Division, Armored Division. I had to give them a lecture on what I'd done. Somehow or other, I stayed in England.
You went back to England?
I did some other things in England while I was there, which I forgot to mention, but they weren't important anyway.
Well, go ahead if you think
they were. No, I don't think they were important, no.
Tell me, just to interrupt you for, again, did all your career, if you will, in Africa, was that entitled you to the Africa Star?
Yes.
Did it?
Yeah, I got the Africa Star. Then I went to Borden, and I found two nondescript infantry battalions, which had been in the 4th Division when it had been infantry, and I was told that the 3rd Battalion was all on guarding the Welland Canal or something, and after a great deal of trouble, I managed to get all three of these battalions together in Camp Borden, and I managed to get a signals company, and I managed to get an ordnance company, and I got an Army Service Corps company, and I finally got my now called the 2nd Canadian Army Tank Brigade.
Tell me, had this all the preparations for the formation of this brigade been set back because of the length of time it took you to get back to Canada? I mean, had they organized something different originally?
No, they were just waiting for me to get back.
Because it must have taken you a month or 6 weeks.
It did. I was at least a month or 6 weeks late in getting back.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to matter because I had an awful job getting these people together and getting them properly organized and changed from infantry into tanks. And
They never had any Armored Corps training at all.
They had none whatever. They were all absolute just infantry.
Yeah.
So I think that in the 2 or 3 months I was there, I was moderately successful in getting them organized into a brigade. And I was, in fact, I got somebody down from Ottawa to come and inspect them and they were finally a brigade, without any tanks, but they were properly organized. And tank crews and tank troops and squadrons and everything else, all organized, ready to receive their tank. Well, then we got 2 or 3 tanks to start training with, and then I used to lecture the officers every evening, and then suddenly I got word. No, I read in the newspaper that I was to go overseas and take command of a brigade in the 5th Armored Division. And one of the higher people, afterwards General Weeks, he happened to come down to Borden at the time. So I went to him and I said, "Look here, what's this I read about in the paper?" And he said, "It's quite right, you're going."
What an extraordinary thing.
So I then had to pack up and leave this. I didn't want to leave at all. I just got it organized. It was very nice. I was very proud of the way I got it organized, you see. So I then flew over to England in a most uncomfortable Liberator bomber. And arrived in England and took over command of the 2nd Armoured Brigade in the 5th Canadian Armoured Division.
This was 1942, it would have been, wasn't it?
This would be 43.
43, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was 43, yeah. Or late in 42, I think, yeah. Late in 42, eh? And so I then had to go to work and organize this unit to my satisfaction.
Yeah. It was a functioning unit.
It was a unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Peculiarly enough, I took it over from Brigadier Spencer, who had been this colonel
in the first Hussars. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He must have been a bit surprised to see you.
Yeah. However, I took command of it, and I was in command of it for quite a long time, because they then reorganized the whole of the Armored Corps, and instead of having two tank brigades and one infantry battalion in the division, they changed the organization to one tank brigade and one infantry brigade and one artillery brigade.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the three elements. And they split up both the 4th and the 5th divisions, and I found myself in command of a new 5th Canadian Army Tank Brigade, and it was composed of my old regiment, Strathcona's Horse, the New Brunswick Hussars, and the British Columbia Dragoons.
I'll be darned.
And I was with them and for a long time, it seems. I then took them to Italy.
Yeah, as part of the 5th Div, eh?
Yeah, as part of the 5th Div.
Yeah.
And
where did you land in Italy?
Oh, we landed at... eventually we landed in Naples, but we had various stops off in North Africa and one thing or another, but we finally landed at Naples, and then we went inland, and when we got to a place called Matera, we found out that we had now come under the command of General Guy Simmons, who had been the new commander of the 5th Division. So, then eventually...
How did you work with him?
He didn't like me very much because I was a First War person.
Yes,
so
really why I asked.
Anybody who had First War medals was out with him. And a lot of the fellows took down their medals, and so they wouldn't notice them. I was foolish enough not to. However, we finally went up the line, but I never got into action And very bad weather, I remember. But by this time, General Simmons had left, and General Burns had come out and taken over command of the division. And General Burns, who was a great friend of mine, came to me one day and he says, "Well," he said, "you've had it, Brad, and I've got to take you along to General Creera, who is, in other words, he took me along to General Creera, and General Creera fired me. He said that I was too old, and I said, "Well, all you've got to do is to let me go into a reasonable battle, and I'll damn soon show you how old I am." But, however, that was no good, and I had to go back to England, whereupon I immediately had a nervous breakdown, and I did the best I could. I went to see Colonel Stewart, and finally he gave me an appointment as Canadian liaison officer on Allied Force Headquarters at Naples. The commander then was this Field Marshal Sir Henry Maitland Wilson, who
you knew?
Yeah. Well, he didn't remember me, so I...
So you mean you went back to Italy again?
So I went back to Italy.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I was there for a while, and I didn't have very much to do.
Must have been a bit of a surprise to Burns and Creera to find you back in the...
This time Creera had gone to England.
I see.
And Burns was commanding the Corps. Mm-hmm. So I used to go up the line and visit my friend, Colonel...
First time he saw you, he must have been a bit surprised.
Oh, yeah. But he was a great friend of mine, General Burns. Always has been for years. So that was all right.
Yeah.
And I used to go up and visit my old brigade and all the 5th Division and then come back and write reports and one thing or another. But finally, I got a recurrence of ear trouble, and I spent a lot of time in a hospital. And finally, I told the doctors, I said, "Well, I'll give up the unequal struggle. You can send me home if you like. I guess I've had it." And so I was sent back to Canada via England, or via a hospital in England. And eventually I was retired. I can't remember.
On medical grounds, more or less?
No, because they had no further use for my services.
So during the war?
I was still in the army. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been actually retired on VE Day.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
And nor had I been retired, no, because I then got leave from I was sent out to Calgary and to await my retirement.
Yes.
And before I actually got retired, I came up to Victoria to have a look around, because I thought I was going to retire here eventually. And while I was out here, there was the Japanese VJ Day.
Oh, yes.
And I really wasn't retired until after the war was completely over.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got any more military service after that. All my other friends, of course, were given jobs, but I was not RMC. And I spoke with an English accent, which I still can't help. And I wasn't even considered for any, after the war job, that's all.
Yeah.
I was just let out.
Yeah.
And that's the end of my military service.
That's it. And you never had any more to do with them except for your reunions, I suppose.
Your Strathcona reunions.
But well, you certainly didn't have an uneventful war, my gosh.
No, not uneventful.
You know, it was 5 years of of striving and.
And the day before I left Italy, my headquarters came under a hell of a bombardment, and my caravan was blitzed.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. And
German aircraft? Was it?
No, shellfire.
Ah.
And
The first time you left Italy.
That was the first time I left Italy, and I all my clothes were shot full of holes, and however I slept in the caravan overnight. There was what, and then when I woke up in the morning and got dressed, I noticed that the gasoline tank had been punctured with shrapnel, and there was gasoline lying out on the in the mud, you know. And I slept in the damn thing all night.
Bloody good thing you weren't a heavy smoker. You weren't a smoker.
Oh,
right?
I was.
Lit a cigarette before breakfast. Eh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that would have been too bad.
Yeah.
Isn't that extraordinary? So, what was your on the whole? What did you feel about the Second World War? You moved around a great deal. You had many different commands. Yet every time you moved, you seemed to go into something that was at least a little, potentially a little better than where you were, it seems to me.
I mean, without trying to, I don't want to be conceited.
No.
I think that I made a success of every command I had.
Yeah.
I think I made a success of every command I had. But what annoyed me was that I never was able to use those units. I never got into a fight.
Yeah.
Never got into a battle. That was the was my disappointment of the first of the Second World War.
Yeah. And yet it just seemed to be that was the way fate had organized it. There didn't seem to be any there didn't seem to be anything behind it at all. You just had the chips seemed to fall that way.
That's right, exactly.
Which is most peculiar.
There is no doubt about it. I've often discussed it with other people similar, that if you spoke with an English accent and you hadn't been to RMC, you had two strikes against you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I suppose this was, in some cases, this was certainly a factor.
I don't know whether it's my imagination, but I know that it's in the imagination of several friends of mine in similar circumstances. In fact, the only person I know who did survive both those disadvantages is a great friend of mine, is General George Kitching.
Oh yes, yes, who certainly has an English accent.
And he was an Englishman. And he didn't go to RMC.
No, Sanders.
He may have went on to Sanders.
Then that
comes with. He was an RMC fellow then. He had been Sanders.
But mind you, he was probably younger than you, I suppose.
Oh, way younger.
Way
younger than I. Oh, good heavens, yes, he was only 27, I think.
But mind you, a good number of militia officers did well in the forces and never went to RMC. That's been a very interesting account, Brigadier Bradbrook, and I'm certainly glad that you were able to take the time to talk to me like this. I think this tape is going to be well worthwhile to future researchers and people who are going to look at what happened from a personal point of view of yourself.
And
the social side is of interest, and altogether it was a very interesting
account. I'm glad to have been of some help.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, thanks very much again.